Welcome to Season 8 of Retrain Your Brain. And this season is going to be all about thriving. I'm going to be digging into my positive psychology toolkit and giving you the exercises to move from I'm fine to I'm flourishing. It's the last episode of this season already. So I wanted to do something a little bit different. Because, of course, this podcast is all about reframing our thinking. And I wanted to use gratitude to actually stop the hedonic treadmill. We're very used to using gratitude to almost open the door for more, because if we're grateful for what we have, then we're in that kind of mindset of being able to receive more. But I want you to think of gratitude a little bit differently in the way we're going to use it for this particular episode. And I'm going to start with a quote from one of my favourite artists. It's Garth Brooks, and the song is Unanswered Prayers. And the chorus gives the line, "Some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers." And psychologist Oliver James wrote the book Affluenza, now well over 10 years ago, in which he spoke of the hedonic treadmill. And this is a concept where we just keep seeking more and more short-term pleasure, but seem unable to stop and appreciate what we have. Now, one of the reasons for this is when we purchase something, we see it in comparison to other things like it before we have it. But when we get it home, we see it as already assimilated into our life. And depending on how we see our life, that can change how we see that particular object. And research has also found that lottery winners will often return to a similar state of happiness around a year after their win as they had before their win. Worse still, in the 1940s, when we didn't have as many people graduating, there wasn't as much wealth, lifespan was even shorter, happiness rated on average a 7.4 out of 10. Now, when we seemingly have everything, we rate on average 7.2 out of 10. This affluenza, this focus on more, is that keeping us in a mindset of lack or of having less? So why do we fear lack? Well, when we live in a society with others, and this is evident in the animal kingdom, we tend to understand our place in the pack through acknowledging ourselves in comparison to others, with the goal of having an equal ability or better to be able to access resources. In humans, we are fighting less over perceived scarcity of food and water, but especially in the social media world, we are fighting over a need for acknowledgement and validation. Further to which, building self-esteem has often focused on appreciating the self in comparison to others. For example, yes, I didn't win, but at least I didn't come last. So let's break this down. Firstly, we'll look at the social media problem. With regards to social media, psychology can point back to an evolutionary hangover, the idea that the weakest in the pack loses out. Unfortunately, in today's Insta-filtered world, it can feel like everywhere you look, you're the before photo. Always remember, and I've said it before, social media is someone else's highlights reel. But when that's all we see, and we constantly see ourselves in a 24/7, that is warts and all, it does become very easy to think, I'm not living up to that in looks or lifestyle or fitness. The list is endless. Even the mundane, with a clever angle and filter, can look like a magazine cover. The problem with this is that we are going to start thinking we're not good enough because we are beginning to see that validation comes through likes and positive comments the longer we spend on social media. We forget that a photo is just a photo. And not only that, it is likely to be set up. Taking hours to impress with a visual on a visual platform is not what life is all about, unless you are an Instagrammer influencer and that is your life. But even then, some people do struggle with mental health issues. We need to start separating validation and fulfillment from what we see online. Another problem is short-term pleasure is easier than long-term fulfillment. Our brains have evolved to keep us safe. And in the first instance, it means our brains are actually quite cautious. The brain is also stimulated by short-term pleasure. And in 21st century living, where this can come at the touch of a button, we actually really need to retrain our brains to look for fulfillment rather than a short-term buzz. The problem is, long-term fulfillment takes more work, it's harder, and if our brain has evolved to be cautious, it doesn't like us leaving the comfort zone because that feels risky. This is why we actually need to try using what the Japanese call Kaizen, which is the art of constant development. And this way, we can short-circuit the brain's hedonistic tendencies if we just make very simple rather than massive changes to our lives. So, rather than starting a brand new fitness routine, which is very restrictive, we might instead add drinking an extra glass of water a day, building that up to two, and so on, until those new habits become assimilated very easily, really without the brain leaving the comfort zone. So, you may ask, should we just settle for being ordinary then? Ordinary is defined as having no distinct features. And the funny thing is, when I reflect on my own teenage years, that's actually what I wanted most of all, just to blend in. Isn't it strange how things have changed? But the problem actually comes with how we define ordinary to ourselves. If we equate it with dull or boring or settling, that's when we return to those feelings of lack. But actually, if we really take the time to think about it, it would be improbable, or at least very unpleasant, to live life every single second in the way that we may believe others are. We know ourselves that even if we had the most wonderful evening, we still need a couple of days to recover. Life is all about balance. And another of my favourite lyrics comes from Chainsmoker and Coldplay. I'm not looking for somebody with some superhuman gifts, some superhero, some fairy tale bliss, just something I can turn to, somebody I can kiss. Ordinary may refer to the one dimension that is what we do, but it doesn't need to refer to who we are. Virtues such as kindness, generosity, temperance, perseverance, they are essential, not just to finding our own contentment, but enhancing that of those around us. And these values, these virtues, must not be given short shrift. Do this little exercise with me. Think of someone that you love, and I want you to really reflect on what they bring to your life. And I bet you, you're going to speak of their virtues, their traits, how they make you feel. Do you really think about their external achievements? And if that's the case, why are we equating fulfillment with ours? Similarly, when your friends think about you, how likely are they to talk about your amazing life? Again, they'll probably reflect on simple pleasures, friendship, a sense of humour, feeling comfortable with you, your thoughtfulness, not what house you live in and what car you drive. The problem is, being in that constant state of striving can be a little bit damaging to our well-being. When the constant need to strive forward or get more results in us forgetting what we have, this can be really problematic. Our brain is our most valuable tool, and as I've said, 21st century living pushes us to acquire more and more and seems intent on making it malfunction. When things arrive at the touch of a button, fast food, shopping, potential relationships, but add to that the stress of working to pay for all of it, then we get competition, feelings of lack, as we continue to pursue that hedonic treadmill in the chase for momentary pleasure, and it is no wonder our mental, emotional, and physical health is suffering. If we are no longer taught to seek lifelong fulfillment, but rather success, as set out by a defined set of criteria, namely what is popular at the moment, we have set ourselves up to experience mental ill health. And what's worse, what little we have of our time and energy is then spent on trying to make ourselves better. We need to stop and we need to start appreciating what we have. And then we might find we already have everything we need. So, how can we learn to press pause? One of my favourite affirmations is the serenity prayer, which is, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And I repeat that idea, so it's part of my daily mantra, even if I don't get the words exactly right. Exercise number two, gratitude. It's a wonderful practice to appreciate what we have, and certainly the extra benefits of generating oxytocin, one of our feel-good hormones, is something else that gratitude brings with it. But I'd even take this further and go around my house touching objects and saying a mental thank you. We are indeed blessed if we have running water and food and a roof over our heads. However, I'm also going to challenge you to actively reflect with gratitude on the times in your past when you didn't get what you wanted. Because those are the times where you may realize that getting what you think you wanted at that moment could have been detrimental to where you are now. And it's now when we realize that we had a lucky escape, we can use reflecting with gratitude on what we didn't get as a way of not only appreciating what we have, but recognizing how strange the hedonic treadmill really is. We might want something and want something and want something, but when we take a step back and breathe and don't just get caught up with the adrenaline of desire, we may begin to realize, actually, I don't need that at all. Then we can focus on what we do need. Another thing we can do is actively appreciate the little wins as much as the big ones. Anumotanabun is a Thai word, which means rejoice in your merits. And this is a word that the Thai monks use every time they see someone doing something kind or compassionate or good. Because this not only primes the mind to look for the positive, but also to recognize it, especially in things which might otherwise have been overlooked. A fourth exercise, engage in self-compassion, not self-esteem. So often we feel guilt because we're looking to others to validate our sense of self-worth. But the more we can build our sense of value, the more likely we are to say yes and we mean it and do a good job, for example. The more likely we are to engage in the little things that make us feel good. And the more we remind ourselves of our own values, for example, keeping a post-it collage of positive words and descriptions of our strengths, the more we begin to realize and value who we are. And that's simply for ourselves, not in comparison with anyone else. And along with that, spend a bit of time with people who value you for who you are, not for what you do. Tip number five, try this affirmation. Who I am is more valuable than what I have. That helps ground me when I feel this twinge of, should I be doing this instead? Because then I reflect on how the person I want to be would behave. And this leads me to reflect on my values. And when I do that, another thing I remind myself to do is turn envy into positivity. So if I see something on social media which would make me feel inferior, and if this happens to you, first of all, remember, it's not usually because the original poster is meant to do that, because how on earth are they going to know you're going to be reading it? But rather, it's often I know because of my own insecurity. And I tell myself, I'm really grateful to see their success. And then I springboard off that belief into doing something that helps me improve in the areas I want to work on. Another tip. Write up a list of people you feel judgmental of. But each time you see them, ask them, how did you develop those traits? What you might find is if you approach someone with love and curiosity, they really want to help us. And then when they help us, practice those behaviours and see which ones work for you. And finally, if you are ever feeling ordinary, ask yourself, what would I do if I didn't have the thought that being ordinary was a problem? And then do it. And that's all we have time for. But for more positive psychology exercises, check out my YouTube channel, Dr. Audrey Tang Tools to Thrive. Visit my website, www.draudreyt.com, where you can also purchase copies of my books. Or alternatively, join me on NLive Radio, Tuesdays, 9 p.m. in the Wellbeing Lounge.